Hello everyone, this is The Big Fight and I'm Maria Shakil. The murky world of high and mighty men of Mollywood has been shaken by some brave women who refuse to take the humiliation any longer and have loudly and boldly said, enough is enough. Many famous male stars, directors and producers of the Kerala film industry face serious allegations of sexual misconduct from women artists who say they were forced to compromise for roles. And uncompromising women were discriminated against. Some even forced to leave the profession, quit, only because they did not give in. The testimonies are reprehensible and chilling. And more women are coming out, coming forward to share their stories. This has now become a second wave of Me Too after the first one that hit Indian maledom a few years ago. But the big question is, will this renewed movement lead to any real change? Or will it also die down like the last one, with no men facing any real consequences for their deplorable and shameful behaviors? Can we move beyond sensationalism to the gravity of the crime? We have some very fascinating voices joining on the show tonight. Shashi Tharoor, Member of Parliament from Thiruvananthapuram, is joining us. We also have actor Revathi, who's leading this fight, and noted columnist, author Shobha Day. Let me begin with actor Revathi first. Ma'am, thank you so much for speaking to NDTV. You have been fighting for the women's cause for several years. Over the last few days, we have seen multiple stories of survivors. What now, in terms of accountability? What do you think is the most effective way to hold perpetrators accountable for their actions with regards to this entire Mollywood Me Too?
Maria, I wouldn't just call it a Me Too. This has gone larger than that. And I'm hoping, and we are all working towards the one thing, that it doesn't stop with this. And then we are able to make the changes and the references or the recommendations given in the report. We would like to make those changes in our industry to make it not just safer, but also equal space for everybody. Because the committee, the committee report out of the 289 pages or so, half of it talks about sexual harassment, but the other half, which I'm very proud to say, that they have been speaking about, I mean, it has reported about issues at workspace. And that also is as important as the harassment that it has spoken about.
Ma'am, you know, there are specific Vishakha guidelines in place, but in institutions such as AMMA, I was told that there was no posh committee. So my question is, do you believe that the legal system right now is equipped to handle cases of sexual harassment and misconduct effectively?
That is something we really need to look in, Maria. This is a very, very important question because, WCC had to actually go to the court and tell that every production and every film department or, the film organization should have an ICC in place. And they had to have a court order for this, though it is the law of the land. Because nobody really understands, and even after forming it, there is no specific way that they have done it. So most ICCs in all these places of work are not in place. So that is very important. And secondly, the special investigation team that the Kerala government has set up, I am not very sure whether they are sensitized to understand, our workspace, which is very different from all other workspace, and to take these cases forward. So I'm just hoping and wishing that, they put this together, take a little time, understand the ups and downs of our workspace, the emotions that go into it, and then, take these cases.
Okay, since you appeared before the SIT as well, and you have put your views across. Are they really equipped? You know, because this is the question that I wish to ask, because justice has to be served in cases of sexual harassment and misconduct. What, according to you, will be the justice here?
I have not actually met the SIT team as yet, but WCC is working towards understanding what the SIT team is, the way the SIT team is working, so that we can help them. Or at least give them the way to go about it. So, what is justice? What is justice? That is something which is very difficult to say. You know, there are two things in this, Maria. This is a movement that has taken its own course,
yes,
which we did not expect after the report was published, given to the public. There are two things in this. It's very important that any allegation that is made is investigated properly and understood, because this is years and years of work put in, and an allegation can negate everything that an individual has done. So that, for that, the SIT has to be equipped to understand how truthful the allegation is. Secondly, there is another aspect of it where, people are pitted against the people who are coming out. And especially women being pitted against women is something that we have seen. It's an age-old, a kind of a tradition that has happened in our society, you know. So women being pitted against women. And that has also started. So we need to really understand that this is not a kind of a shaming game, or it is not any kind of a game. It is a very, very important foundation of a future that we are laying for our future generations, our children, grandchildren, whatever we call it. And it is not just within the industry. It is also going to percolate into the society and the attitude of the society in general. So this is a very, very important movement, and we should not be, throwing it out, making decisions in hastily. It has to be done with complete detailing and complete meticulous nature.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Because, when the first wave of Me Too came, there were several high and mighty of the Bollywood who were named, and many of them are back in positions of power and authority. Of course, we are seeing the second wave, but you are saying that it's a more organic movement now. My question is, that the Indian film industry, not in general Bollywood or Mollywood, you have so many regional linguistic cinemas. Have they taken sufficient measures to address sexual harassment and misconduct? And what changes would you like to be implemented in order to ensure that the industry becomes a safe space for women and such incidents can be prevented?
Maria, wherever there is name, fame and money, there are issues. And, it's always about the powerful and the weak, And I'm talking about in every sense, whether it is the power, it's the money, or even mentally, and physically. So the powerful and the weak, this is a game that is being played for over centuries. Mm-hmm. Now, with regards to people coming back into power, that's exactly what I'm saying, Maria, that we need to see to it that this movement doesn't die down with just allegations and, people are just calling out names and after that everything is forgotten because some other news has taken over. No, this has to be something that we need to take it forward very, very sensitively and very strongly. And for that, I think WCC we as a group, we are a very small group, but we are working day and night, understanding and trying to put certain things in place so that we can talk to the other industry bodies and say that this is something all of us have to do together. No one person can do it. Government alone cannot do things. We have to work together with the government, and all the bodies have to come together for this. So that is what we are working towards, Maria, and God bless that we are able to do it, completely.
More power to you, certainly. We hope, women like you, more and more women like you come out and support others. You know, ma'am, one of the major fallouts of this Justice Hema Committee report has been, of course, subsequent statements, but also resignations. The entire Amma Committee has been dissolved. The president has resigned. Mr. Mohan Lal has resigned. Then you have Film Employee Federation of Kerala, which is a trade union of technicians coming out in support. Then there's also the political fallout, which we are seeing with demands of resignation of the CPIM leader who's facing the question, the actor M. Mukesh. How do you look at these resignations per se?
That has been happening in our country for every single thing. For any drop of an issue, people just resign. And what is resignation? It is about shirking your responsibility. So with regards to the Association of Malayalam Movie Artists, which is AMMA, it is about, you need to take responsibility. You need to understand. Have a conversation. Let us all have a conversation across the table. What is wrong in that? Why are we holding our egos so high? You know, we have our images in front of public, but between us, within the industry, should we really need to have that? Let us sit, talk together. And we're all working towards the betterment of our industry, because after all, my identity of who I am is because of this industry where I have worked and done some amazing work with all of them. So why do we have that? So I think the first thing that all of us need to do is, okay, this has happened. Last 10 days, it's been a turmoil. Now let us all come, sit together, converse, understand how to make things better, change it, because now the girls are not going to sit, keep quiet. They are going to, because before it was just shut up, keep quiet, don't say anything, leave it, Now, I don't think we will tell them that, and they are not going to, even if you tell them, this generation is not a generation that is going to listen to your stupid advice, but they are going to do what they feel is right.
My last question
now
to you.
We need to sit across the table and talk and make it better.
Okay. Do you see this as a tipping point? And let me also add a subsequent question to that. What are your opinions? Should there be similar commissions in other states of inquiry? Is there a need for such committees?
I don't know about the commissions, but if we sincerely want to understand and study a specific industry, I think a commission like this is very good. But again, the result of the commission will be according to the people who go and speak. I am proud to say that the girls and the boys, the men who have spoken in the Hema Commission, I think they have done a very good job. They have, spoken what they really truly felt, and each one according to their individual experiences. So that has happened. But now with regards to, taking sexual favors for, a role or anything like that, that is something that none of us can really say much, as far as these individuals are not forced. There should never be a force with regards to saying that I will give you this if you give me a sexual favor. So that is something that I think we really need to stop. And I don't know how we are going to do this. There has to be somebody, some few people who need to put their heads together and do something about this too.
All right, actor Revathi, director also, taking up the good fight. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your views. We also have Trisha Shetty, activist and founder of She Says, joining us on the show. Talish Ray is an advocate. Rutuja Shinde is joining me from Mumbai. She's a lawyer who is providing pro bono advisory services to survivors of workplace sexual harassment. Rituparna Chatterjee, curator of the India Me Too handle on Twitter, and a journalist, Brinda Adige, social and women activist. Rituparna Chatterjee, beginning with you, since you are following this case and you have seen what we saw a few years ago, what is the change that you're seeing from then to now?
One of the biggest way this is playing out, I would say, is the difference in how the cases were dealt with. Although I'm not entirely too happy with the state government's response in two ways. A, it took 5 years for the report to be made public. And the first response after it was made public was to ask women to come forward and file FIRs. Why is it that again and again, it's on women to speak out their truth, to file the FIRs, to file the complaints, and putting the onus directly back on them? We've been through this path before. We've been here 5 years ago. I feel one of the biggest change, one of the biggest also challenges, I would say, is to learn lessons from 5 years ago. How can this be taken forward beyond, you know, allegations to from Kolkata to Kerala? How can we see change happen? I can elaborate more on that once we talk.
Okay, so Rutuja Shinde, let me take that thought forward with you. How can we see the change happen in terms of, you know, as a lawyer, in the last 5 years, have you seen more and more women come out and speak about and take up cases of sexual, you know, the turmoil that they are faced in their workspaces?
So I would say in terms of the organized sector, wherein we have corporates or let's say even government organizations and institutions, wherein there is some faith in the system, women have been able to come forward and voice their concerns, also file reports formally. However, in the unorganized sector, since it is spread across, there is no formalization of any institute, there is no body or redressal mechanism which is present, it makes it very difficult for women to come forward and file for their concerns. There are supposed to be local complaints committees which are present on each district level, but either they are not operating properly or they are defunct or they have not been updated. So that also brings in a barrier for them to go ahead and complain. So if you see the difference, I would say in the organized sector, yes, maybe more women are coming forward and raising their concerns, filing a report, complaints formally. But in unorganized sector, there's still largely a problem with addressing concerns related to workplace sexual harassment.
Okay. So there's a clear distinction which is continuing, perhaps that veil of silence is yet to be lifted fully and finally. Trisha Shetty, you know, this cultural and societal response which has come from Kerala in general, how do you think it has led to this movement becoming far more organic?
The fact that it's intergenerational in its nature, the fact that it's been led by women within the industry, the fact that till date they started this movement years ago, but it's 2024, and till date, it's the only industry within the film industry that we have across India where women have come forward, bandied in solidarity, and demanded for better, right? So, you know, kudos to all the founding members of the WCC. And what I really appreciate with all the news interviews that they've been giving is they're saying this goes beyond naming and shaming. They're calling for structural and systematic reform, specifically focusing on three subjects, right? The point of wage parity, setting up redressal cells, which is ICC, and third, safe workplaces. Because there's a deep recognition that discrimination and violence against women is perpetrated not just in unsafe places, but in places where there is an imbalance of power. Therefore, wage parity goes a long way in ensuring that women are regarded as equal places within the workplace. And I want to go back to what Parvati, one of the founding members of WCC, said. She said, look, there is a misnomer when it comes to women in the film industry, where they think women enter the industry for fame and money, not recognizing that one of the main reasons women enter the industry is for artistic purposes and reasons. Till the time you don't look at women within the film industry for who they truly are, artists who just want to do their job, who want to excel in their profession, who want to contribute to the cinemas, we will not give them the respect that they deserve.
Absolutely. And a word from you, you know, Brinda Adige and also Talish Ray, because we'll be joined by Shobha Day shortly. But coming to you, you know, Talish, we have seen some desire for systemic changes. You know, this committee had identified at least 17 forms of exploitation experienced by women working in 30 different categories within the industry. So, you know, there is that clear messaging which is coming that, yes, women have spoken about, but different forms of exploitation. It's not just one clear form of sexual harassment.
So, Maria, I think one really needs to appreciate the granularity and the specific details that the HEMA committee has gone into, in terms of detailing not just about senior artists like actors and producers, but also looking at the roles of assistant directors, your makeup artists, your junior artists that have been there and reaching out. In fact, the more I go over the HEMA committee again and again, the report, I am struck by the fact as to how they have talked about the nature of difficulty that they faced as well, including a strong protest about not being provided secretarial services. Having said that, I think we need to also keep in mind that when they're talking about these various factors about a toxic workplace, while recognizing that this is an industry which has specific specific structures that are there, which are very, very varied from what we understand of a standard workplace. So this is a unit that comes into play, the movie gets produced, and then everybody disbands. And then who does the responsibility rest with? Even though the Kerala High Court way back in the March of 2022 had apportioned responsibility with the producer. So when we're looking at this industry and we're looking at the way forward in terms of structural changes, I think there are only three key points that I take away.
Okay.
Number one, we have to look at the role of women as a collective, which is what Women in Cinema Collective did. The fact that they came in voluntarily, most of them were already very established, recognized, reputed and bankable stars who stood together and said, one of ours has been assaulted and we demand that the government take action. So collective action of women. And that becomes important because wherever you look at the history of women demanding change from the state, whether it is the anti-Arak movement that took place in Andhra Pradesh in the 1990s, or if you even look at it in a positive sense in terms of the Amul cooperative movement, it is women when they band together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the number one lesson. It's a case study in how the Women in Cinema Collective have stood. Because let's remember, this started in 2017. We're sitting in 24. And these are exceptionally talented, exceptionally well-recognized, and in some cases, very powerful women. It has taken them this long, right? The number two takeaway that is there is the state action. There has been progressive state action. There has been redressal. There has been addressing the problem by appointing a committee, okay. Even though after that, nobody has been happy about how okay. they have handled it. But there's no taking away what the state did.
Okay.
And the fact that there are other states that are demanding it. Telangana has a similar collective that is demanding that their state also look at forming such a investigation. The number three takeaway that you must also realize is the historical nature of the film industry. Hashtag MeToo 2017, Hollywood. It is not a surprise that it comes from this industry that has also got to do with public support. And that's my third takeaway. It is the public in Kerala which actually stands by these women today. They are the ones that are forcing all of these very powerful players
yes.
in the industry to either cop out of whether it is FAFCA, whether it is AMA, whatever bodies that might be, the shaming that takes place, which is why Kerala needs to be celebrated. And it is no surprise that Kerala is one of the states which has...
Absolutely. 100%. In fact, Talish, that exactly is what Dr. Shashi Tharoor has told us. The interview clip will be playing out shortly. But coming to you, Brinda, you know, in this particular case so far, we haven't seen any defamation suits. So men in many ways have accepted that they are in the wrong.
Well, they have not accepted verbally, but they are forced to accept because the depositions, the statements are so strong. Because we did hear one or two of them saying that, you know, character assassination, maligning, and we are going to court. There were a couple of them who said. But we also must place on record that we have not heard too many big actors, not too many, no big male actor coming forward supporting this entire Justice HEMA Commission report. So I'm not talking only about the Kerala film industry, but I'm talking about anybody from across India. So that is showing that they are a little scared or probably very scared, because that naming and shaming is going to happen. Now, they can talk a lot of things saying you bring proof to court, bring evidence to court. All of that is secondary. The due course of law will take place. But right now, like the panelists have pointed out, women are not afraid to come out and
absolutely
speak up.
We have Shobha Day joining us. Continue to be with us, all the panelists and ladies. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. Shobha Day, columnist and author, is joining us live. Ma'am, thank you so much for speaking to NDTV. What are your thoughts on these allegations, which of course have been leveled against Malayalam actors and industry professionals? How do you think these cases will influence the broader Me Too conversations in Bollywood, emerging, of course, from Mollywood in Kerala?
Well, the tragedy in this particular case is that for 4.5 years, nothing was done. Justice K. Hema commissioned the report, has been lying there for close to now 5 years. There was a breakaway group which was started by the women in the Malayalam film industry, completely disheartened by the pathetic working conditions, and that it was a cozy men's club controlled by 15 or 20 men who had such complete control, absolute power over their working lives and in many ways over their personal life. Now, in 2017, there was an abduction and rape case in action in that case as well. So what we are seeing today is a very strong and overdue reaction to the general rot in the Malayalam film industry. But let me also say, it's not unique to the Malayalam film industry. It's widespread. It's happening in Bollywood. It's happening in the Bengal film industry. I'm sure the film industry in Kannada is not spared, because the way the system works in the movie business, it's a patriarchal system in its nastiest, most toxic form. Women seem to be completely voiceless and powerless, but things must change. I'm also extremely, in a way, disheartened is a mild word. I'm shocked that all that this powerful committee could do, the executive committee headed by Mohanlal, was to resign en masse. How does that help anything? I mean, good leadership is about saying we are going to stay right where we are, and we're going to make sure some action is taken against the perpetrators of the violence against the women, the sexual favors being exchanged, even something as basic as toilets being denied to the women in the industry. This is not just inhuman, it's callous, it's cold-blooded, and it's well calculated. It's not as if people were not aware of these pathetic conditions. No one spoke up, and worse, no one did anything about it. And I'm equally shocked and very, very disappointed. Not a single strong male voice has emerged out of Bollywood. Not a single male actor of any worth has spoken against what they're seeing in the industry. I mean, they're all colleagues. It's supposed to be a fraternity. You stand by your colleagues, whether they're men or women. You speak up when you're needed to speak up. But there seems to be a sort of complicit agreement with the men in the industry across the board not to damn each other and not to draw too much focus to what has been going on and will probably go on for the next few decades, because that's what the movie business seems to not just inculcate but actively encourage.
Yes, of course, you know, this culture of silence is deeply disturbing. Do you think this is essentially apathy? And why is this apathy so pervasive? Something that we saw also during the first wave of Me Too, you know, familiar noises around pitting one woman's account and experience against another. Besides this harrowing mental experience, how do you think it will go ahead? My question is, when these men resigned, you know, Amma being disbanded, where does this entire episode head now? Is there no will to correct the processes, or do you think it's just about getting the optics right?
No, there's. I don't accept that there's apathy. I think this has been a turning point. I believe it is the tipping point, because these kind of conversations we didn't hear for
the last, at least the last 5 years. What has been tabled is not news. It's not something that the Malayalam film industry didn't know. Also, it's not uniquely Malayali. It's not as if it's like the the Malayali biryani, which is unique. It's not like appam and ishtu, which is restricted to the cuisine of a certain state. This is the kind of rot that's seen across the board. Bollywood has not spared its women. And yet, how many women do you hear speaking up? How many women are you hearing from? The Bengali women have, of course, voiced their grievances much more emphatically. But where are the big stars from Bollywood who have, they didn't even as much as say, we stand by with the people who are the victims. We stand in solidarity with the victims of these atrocities, which have been going on unchecked, unabated. And it's all because of the men in the industry who call all the shots. Now, till that equation changes, I don't see really much changing, because the money is controlled by the men. They decide who's in, who's out, who gets a job, who gets a role, which technician is cooperative, which woman is willing to go to bed with a director, a producer, a camera person. If not, if she's seen as a troublemaker, if she's seen as a woman who will stand up for her self-respect, she's out. Which means we are rendering a group of women who may be completely qualified, even the technicians, qualified to do the job, but will be discriminated against in this fashion because they are not willing to trade their bodies for a role or for a job. You are impacting the work environment in a way that you're leaving out women in this manner from earning their livelihood. This is unforgivable, and unless action is taken, and that action should be taken at a tribunal level, there should be a much more serious attempt to go into what has gone wrong, and a very, very serious attempt to make sure that those who perpetrated this will be punished, and that the law must take its course. We can't just sit back and say, oh, this is going to be a lot of noise, and eventually the noise will disappear and go away. It's time for action, and I hope and pray that a person of Mohanlal standing is not going to just sit there and say, I've resigned and therefore I'm washing my hands off this. Oh no, you can't, my friend. It is your battle as much as it is the battle of all the women who have been victimized over the years. So stand up, be a man, tell your other team members, the executive committee, to take responsibility and help those who are at the receiving end of what we've seen over so many decades.
Shobha Day, always expected you to be so clear and direct, so thank you so much. My last question to you, ma'am. Of course, none of the successful Bollywood women actors have also spoken out. We haven't seen any kind of women collective emerge, from Bollywood perhaps. That could have happened. So are you of the opinion that this is some kind of a vicious circle where nothing will finally happen?
Don't expect that kind of response from Bollywood, because they've always been very selective about who they support and who they choose to ignore and shut their eyes to what's going on around them. I mean, they won't do it for their own colleagues in Bollywood. Why would they even bother with the women who are suffering in the Malayalam film industry? I really have no expectations from Bollywood. It's just very, very pathetic to see this level of not just indifference, I would say, because it doesn't impact them directly in any way. But actually, when you keep quiet, when other women, colleagues of yours, people from your own fraternity are being discriminated against, are being victimized, someday this same problem is going to come back and bite you. But maybe they think they are protected in some way, or perhaps they think it's all okay, it's part of the system. And if you don't like the heat in the kitchen, or you don't like the heat in the film industry, in Bollywood or in Mollywood, stay out. But that's not the answer. Some sort of very strong action has to be taken, and it has to be demonstrated that people will not get away with this, because it is a criminal act and that they should pay for it.
Shobha Day, author, columnist, pleasure having you on my show, ma'am. Thank you so much. Rutuja, coming to you, the point here is you have a resignation, a spate of resignations. But the fact is that the Amma, the all-powerful committee, did not have a posh committee. So how does this really absolve all the president and the secretaries of that organization and the institution?
That's right. So if you see, the Women in Cinema Collective has also filed a petition with the Kerala High Court. And the Kerala High Court did say that film sets are recognized as workplaces. And if you are producing a film, you must have an ICC in place, which is the POSH committee as we know it. However, we do not know how many film sets have actually ever had these ICCs in place. Even these organizations like AMMA or FEFCA, we do not know if their ICCs are either in place or if they are even functional. The other issue is, if you read the commission's report, the commission has categorically stated that the conditions are not conducive for having a POSH committee. Even the members who might be on this committee will have and hold so much power that it can be abused. So do we really want to send survivors to people who are not sensitive to their issues or
Not having POSH committee is not really an answer. According to the Vishakha guidelines, all these companies must have a POSH committee, Talish. You know, so
Absolutely.
Retrospectively action be taken against them? I mean, they have taken resignation is not all right. Talish Ray, please.
Right. Not so just that they have not instituted the POSH committees, but even if they had, we do not know if there would have been any authenticity to these committees.
Yes, Having a committee is a must. I mean, you cannot not have a POSH committee. Talish, please come in. What action can be taken against institutions if they do not have such grievance redressal units?
So when you're talking about grievance redressal units, I must point out that the case being referred to by Rituja here was argued by me on behalf of the CINTA, which is the Cine Artists Association, which is based out of Mumbai. And they already have IC, an internal committee, under the Prevention of Sexual Harassment of Women Act of 2013 that came up after the Justice Varma committee recommendations. So, the High Court has held, the Act holds, Vishakha guidelines hold that there should be an IC. That's number one. The number two thing, which I think is actually more pertinent right now in terms of solution, I think somewhere there was this talk about whether there has been a pushback. Now, what we often see is that when victims take their own, charge of their own narrative, from becoming victims to becoming survivors, there is a pushback which is very, very powerful by the patriarchs. Now, that's where I see the resignation of the so-called heads of AMMA and the criticisms that have come about saying, oh, now we don't want to be a part of it. Now, I see that as a pushback. Also, there are media reports that some of these actors who anticipate, because they're very well aware of the crimes they have committed, let's not just call it sexual harassment, some of the accounts that, while they have been redacted, but the accounts that have been running around are horrific. They involve things like prevention of cruelty towards children, sexual abuse of children that may have come in as child actors. And therefore, they have already taken anticipatory bails. There are reports that are coming in of some people filing in police complaints. Now, we don't know the nature of those complaints, but I can sort of hazard a guess that this would be in the nature of trying to push back, saying, oh my God, this is where a public maligning of images happened. And that is the kind of victimization that we've often seen of people who come up with the narrative. The improvement that I see from the previous hashtag MeToo in 2018 is the really wonderful bit where nobody is questioning the testimony of the survivor by saying, oh, yes. Was it authentic? Yes. Did it take place? You remember when 2017 and 18 took place, the number of people that came out and people said, oh, she must have been asking for it. Oh, she consented to it, completely negating the fact that
And why did you not speak when it happened?
Yes, why did you not speak? Or go back to the famous US case which said that even if it is consent, if it's quid pro quo sexual harassment, then consent does not matter because it's like placing a gun on someone's head.
Yeah.
Now, given all of that background, I see this as a huge positive step.
Absolutely.
We're not doubting the testimony. We're not having a debate about did it really happen? Why did you not do it then?
That's
an acknowledgement.
Yes, yeah, so I agree with you, Talish. That is a big shift. But Brinda Adige, coming to you, Shobha Day, of course, was sharing your views on why are the high and mighty of the Bollywood silent, including women actors. If they don't speak up now, when will they speak up? And the selective outrage, I don't understand. I mean, how does it actually help any professional of any industry?
Well, like you mentioned, there is a very systematic conspiracy of silence. Hmm. And we know that the ones who are going to get hurt most are women, because we do not have the systems in place. Even here, because of the 2017 case, the government constituted this commission. And now the commission has come out and then sat with that report for 5 years. And now that report is coming out and the police is registering FIR. Now, all of this said and done, we don't even know the manner in which the prosecution and the courts are going to look at all of these cases. Are they going to ask all of these victim survivors to come back again and pause before their courts? And if so, how long would that take? And in the meantime, will these women get any kind of a job or not? Will they be considered for their roles? Because they're all very talented people with a lot of potential. And like somebody else mentioned also, the industry is filled with powerful men and rich men. So they have the money. Yes. And the women are not the ones with the money. So the producers or the
yes
financiers, all of them are men. So we now want to ask that these systems must be put in place, and all of these people who have summarily resigned and gone must be held responsible.
Absolutely.
And that might be a lesson that will go out very strongly to others, that you may resign today, but what you did or did not do when you were...
Yes, you will be held accountable to that. Yes, you wanted to come in. Go ahead, Rituparna.
So one point that I think is very important to make here is sexual harassment of any kind, sexual abuse, sexual crimes, takes years off of your life. So when we are talking about justice, what does justice look like? Justice is also looks like reparation. So how are we protecting? I say this because I've seen over the past 5 years how the severe backlash
that women faced. Justice also is justice what Priya Ramani got. So I think that's also a side of justice.
Absolutely. Right. So how are we making reparations for, you know, loss of work? How are we making reparations for mental health? Even now, there are toxic fan clubs on Twitter who attack. It's not true that questions are not being asked of, you know, these testimonies. Just give it time. We've seen questions being asked. They will be asked. And the main challenge here will be gathering of evidence, because most of these cases have happened years ago. So what does it look like to also compensate women for the sheer, you know, lack of the loss of their years, the best productive years they've lost to patriarchy, they've lost to this misogynistic culture? And I think though that those questions must be asked simultaneously as we wait for justice to take its course.
Yes, my last word to Trisha Shetty. Trisha, the only way we can see real justice, according to me, is when this power dynamics actually become that of equals. When men do not control the purse which is there in Bollywood or any of the cinemas or any of the institutions. Do you think that is where the real change will happen? Then it will be the beginning of the real change.
Undoubtedly. I think this is why the demands from the women, from the WCC, demanding for wage parity, goes such a long way in the fight, not just for women in cinema in Kerala, but across India, for women across all professions, right, to have conversations about wage parity. Let me also say, what we often see when it comes to survivors coming forward is that they get blacklisted. We have seen this across Bollywood. We've seen this across Kerala as well, Mollywood. Instead of the accused and those who shielded them getting blacklisted, it's the survivors who are getting blacklisted. And unfortunately, many of the survivors who come forward in the HEMA committee report have also attested to the same, that they have lost work. The founding committee members of the WCC have attested that they have lost work. So, you know, I don't agree with the previous panelist, Shobhade, when she said Mohanlal shouldn't have resigned. Have we not seen the interviews where Mohanlal very repugnantly was laughing when questioned about, you know, Kerala's Me Too movement? And he said, what about the men? So really, a man who espouses such repugnant views, I don't think should be in any position of trust or authority. So yes, resignation perhaps was way too easy for him. Condemnation, and perhaps we should look less blacklisting these people who are clearly getting away with years of,
claiming moral responsibility. I mean, that's a face saver that you're getting.
So where does this lead us? I think I go back to the leadership of the Women Collective, the WCC, where they've said they've called for rethinking, reshaping, rebuilding, right? So rethinking your entire power structures, reshaping these power structures and making sure that women across intergenerations, across castes, across religions are holding these power structures and rebuilding in a way that is equitable for all to make sure that it's helpful for all, not just women, but all genders.
Yes. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts here on the show. Trisha Shetty, Talish Ray, Rutuja Shinde, Rituparna Chatterjee, and also Brinda Adige. Also on the show now is this exclusive interview that I had with Dr. Shashi Tharoor, a member of parliament from Thiruvananthapuram, a proud Malayali himself. Listen in to what he said. With that, it's a wrap from me. I'll be seeing you next week with another episode of The Big Fight. I'm going to take current times now to your home state of Kerala, where we are seeing a very disturbing trend come in with Me Too movement, which is being seen. Dr. Tharoor, you're a proud Malayali, and you have spoken about your sisters, you've often spoken about your mother, so clearly you understand that this was a society which was matrilineal in nature. So women had that power, they were seen as almost power behind the forces.
I grew up in a household of strong women because I had two sisters and a mother who were all women with strong views and independent ways of functioning in their own right.
Are you disappointed with what's happening in the society there?
I am, but at the same time, I'm proud that the first place in India that has actually exposed what everyone says is going on in every other film industry is Kerala. At least Kerala stood up and said, this is not right. A serious committee composed entirely of women, including a retired woman judge, did this inquiry. Where I think is inexcusable is that the report was submitted in 2019 and the state government sat on it for 5 years. It should have been released on the spot. They've released it with 69 pages redacted. So all the names of people and specific accusations have been left out. But I gather the entire unredacted report has been given to a court and the court has instructed the police to start filing suo motu FIR. So first of all, the exposure of the issue, and second, the beginnings of action being taken are actually a good sign that Kerala is taking it seriously. The crimes described are shameful, reprehensible, and must attract condign punishment. But it is very difficult to pretend that it's only in Kerala this has happened. Everyone connected with the film world has anecdotally told me of such practices that are rampant elsewhere. It's that other film industries and other languages in India do not seem to have shown the courage that the Malayali film industry has done. And to that, I hope you will give the Keralites that much of credit.
And, as a society watcher, someone who is socio-politically involved, do you see this as degradation of the society?
It is. I think there are too many things now coming out of the closet of our society. First of all, the assaults and violence against women, which is perhaps the most worrying, going back forever, but now being talked about since the Nirbhaya tragedy of 2012 and now the RG Kaur Medical College rape and murder of 2024. That's a dozen years in which nothing seems to have changed. Every day you pick up the newspaper, there is some incident of some woman being assaulted. Could be a college student, could be a child, could be a middle-aged lady, could be a professional. There are all sorts of people every day enduring the indignity of violence. And there's something wrong with us as Indian men if we can't address this problem in our society's interest. Secondly, there is the overall, as you said, attitudes in society, where parents very often feed their male children first before they feed their daughters, where the son is made to feel that he is, the leader of the family, even if sometimes they may be a more capable sister. Our entire society needed change. I remember discussing with Sheila Dixit after Nirbhaya whether we can't have serious gender sensitivity instruction in the classrooms for boys from a very young age. And I hope that all of this can be implemented. Otherwise, we can't just go on having tragedy after tragedy, big shock and horror and outrage. Then it all subsides and we move on to the next tragedy. That doesn't work. We need systemic change.
And how do you look at these resignations which have come in, you know, the powerful associations like AMMA and all?
That's the one
association. Yes. So do you
people
actually
have resigned from there? Yes. In some cases, their own names have been taken by the accusers. One of the secretary.
Shouldn't they be cleaning up the system rather than resigning, taking moral responsibility? How does it really
work? No, I think both should be done. It's not just moral responsibility. In one or two cases, there are FIRs against the people who have resigned. In one or two cases, yes, it's just moral responsibility. But the fact is, they did sit and preside over a system that allowed this to happen to so many young women. And therefore, I think that there should be some accountability. But equally, the only way you can prevent anything like this from happening again is creating systems and making rules. First, when we talk about systems, there's some basic facilities. You know, having toilets for women, having facilities, restrooms, areas where they can literally physically rest, whether it's in a hospital, as in Calcutta, whether it's in a film set, that women should be recognized to have the right to their own space and to be free of interference in that space. Secondly, you need rights. I mean, every woman, when she signs a contract for a job, should know what it involves and what it doesn't involve. And third, the men should be told that misbehavior of this nature will warrant very severe punishment, and they could even lose their jobs on a film set or whatever, or that the film producers themselves will be happy to cooperate with a complaint. Then we need some sort of body. Now, in the workplace, there's supposed to be the Vishakha recommendations, where each company has its own committee on sexual harassment. Clearly, if the industry is complicit in what's going on, that alone is not enough. So you need a tribunal with some outside people in it that can receive complaints. Because if, for example, you're shooting a film and the power structure in the film is such that you as a young woman are being mistreated or abused, you're not going to go to the same producers and directors who represent that power structure and complain. You'll either leave the set or you'll just accept it and take it in stride, as so many women were forced to do. If you have an outside tribunal you can go to, you can go and tell them this is what's happening. Now, one of the biggest tragedies in any workplace sexual harassment situation is when the woman feels that it's either this or her job, and she needs her job, or she needs the money, or she needs the opportunity, and she therefore feels that this is the price she has to pay. For generations in every film industry, that seems to be what many women have gone through. And that is something that really, really should not be allowed to continue.
So do you think, like the Justice Hema Commission, which was set up, there should be similar inquiries done in other regional cinemas?
Ideally, yes. But the thing about the Hema Committee inquiry is that it came up as a demand from women in the industry themselves. But yes, if we were going to have a decreed by the government that every state should set something like this up, it may not be a bad idea at all. But I think in terms of the way our system works, it would be left to states probably to do.